This is Carol, your host with Arts Live and Local. Right now, I want to dedicate this show. Somehow or other, we do not have any music here from Nepal. Yes, I do have music at home. I was fortunate to spend 3 months there, 1984. And I, like everyone else, I'm having a heartache for the people of Nepal, as well as our own man-made insanity here in Baltimore. But there's something else, and that was 50 years ago. And that was the end of the Vietnam War. Also, apparently, that was 40 years ago. Apparently, 50 years ago was the first teach-in at University of Michigan, as well as the first march against the war in Vietnam. I'm a little puzzled by these dates because I finished college in 65. That's 50 years ago. And we were marching against the war in Vietnam and having teach-ins already. So somebody check that and let us know. Meanwhile, thanks for being here.
Place was bustling in the morning when the army and the ordnance made their strike. Like a farmer killing chickens for the market, they cut down every living thing in sight. They tore into the wombs of the women, the sunlight gleaming on their bayonets. And the fishermen downstream, though they never heard the screams, hauled in a harvest of human carnage in their nets. Take down my name, I ain't alone, I ain't ashamed, and I say USA, out of El Salvador. You can tell the Pentagon, who wants no more Vietnams.
We ain't marching into that jungle anymore.
Ohio far behind her, she swore a sacred vow to help the poor. With three sisters she was raped and slowly tortured, left in a shallow grave in El Salvador. The doctor, he would grieve at all the suffering, he never asked his patient's party line. But he saved a rebel's life, the death squad came at night. Healing the sick is only crime. Take down my name, I ain't alone, I ain't ashamed.
USA, out of El Salvador.
You can tell the Pentagon, we want no more Vietnams.
We ain't marching into that jungle anymore.
Our taxes by the bullets of the killers, our helicopters darken southern skies. Our business wants new markets and cheap labor, our papers rush to print CIA lies. Take a message to the smiling politicians who like to talk so tough and act so brave. Rattling words of war, we've heard them all before, and we will answer them with peace and joy and rage. Take down my name, I ain't alone, I ain't ashamed.
USA, out of El Salvador.
You can tell the Pentagon, we want no more Vietnams.
We ain't marching into that jungle anymore.
Okay, you heard it here. No more Vietnams. I wish that had held. That's Fred Small. Thank you, Fred Small. 40 years since the end of that debacle. Well, we don't have a war going on here. We do have a bit of a competition, however, because we are in the Columbia Pacific region where the arts are so alive and well, you better be on your toes. I warned y'all last week, and it's happening. I have lots of guests today, and then a list that is unbelievable, especially tomorrow. My first guests are here because I want to give them a big congratulations to Susie Brown and to Sheila Schaefer. Howdy.
Hello.
Hi, Carol.
Not newcomers on this station, especially Susie Brown, who wears so many hats in this community. They are the director and...
Actress.
In the romantic comedy Mixed Emotions by Richard Baer, which opens tonight. Now, the good news is it runs all the way through the 24th, so you will have some time, but best to come and see things when you can. And opening night is always a great time. I like to go opening night and then come back and see how things have changed. So am I right in calling this a romantic comedy? Was that what you would determine?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I never heard of Richard Baer or Mixed Emotions, but that doesn't mean anything. Why don't you tell us who he is or who the play is, what the play is?
Richard Baer is primarily known for writing for television sitcoms, and he has a long list of sitcoms, all the way from the Munsters to Petticoat Junction and many, many in between.
Now, he's deceased now, is that right?
Or? I believe so.
Yes, I think he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
But he's, we better check this before we proclaim him dead, huh? gosh, I didn't write that down. I had it in my head, but I could be wrong. So is this unusual to have a stage play from him, or did he do a lot of those too?
No, he didn't do a lot of those.
And who chose this one?
The programming committee at the Coaster Theater.
Okay. Sheila, you're an old hand at the Coaster.
Yeah.
Have you lived, now you live in Astoria now,
mm-hmm,
is that right?
I do. I've always lived in Astoria.
You have, yeah. So you've been one of the commuters.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Have you done theater in Astoria as well, or how did you get hooked up with the Coaster?
Well, when I first moved to the coast, I lived in Tacoma and moved down to Wheeler with my first husband and was working in Cannon Beach and started at the Coaster in 2002 when I was working in Cannon Beach.
Right.
And then in 2002, I moved to Astoria. Oh,
okay. But you stayed
with the Coaster.
And were you doing acting before you moved here?
Oh, yeah. I have a degree in theater from the University of Wisconsin.
I guess you were.
Yeah.
Yes. And you also direct.
Yes, I do.
So both of you, Susie is the director for this play, Mixed Emotions, but she also is an actor. So how does that work for each of you separately? Do you have a preference between directing and acting? And how do you feel about directing and acting in the same play?
I'll start with that last question first. Directing and acting in the same play is very difficult, nigh on impossible, for me, anyway. I like directing actors, though, and I like directing directors because there's a very nice collaboration that goes on when that happens. And because this particular play has so many seasoned actors in it, I thought there was a nice amount of collaboration and sharing of ideas, and it was really a dream cast, honestly.
That's always nice, isn't it? Who else is in the cast?
Don Connor.
Okay. Oh, yes. AKA.
Yeah. Slab Slabinski.
Sorta.
And a new face to the Coaster, but not new to theater, Cedar Brosh, who's from Nehalem.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you said you like directing actors, you like directing directors. How do you feel about being directed when you're acting?
Oh, well, I would hope that I would be directed when I'm acting.
Okay, so you do appreciate acting. I was just wondering whether there's a balance, whether you have a preference.
I prefer directing.
You do. Okay, how about you, Sheila?
To me, it's apples and oranges. Okay. I mean, it's like I love directing when I'm passionate about a script and I want to, you know, I have a vision for the entire play, but then there's times where I read a script and go, I like that role,
uh-huh.
You know, and
okay.
So I like doing both, and I personally feel that if I'm an actor, I have more empathy towards the actors when I direct.
And that's what I just heard from Susie. She likes directing directors, meaning you get it. So you understand not only your actors, but you also understand how mm-hmm. it is for a director to be mm-hmm. bossing you around. It sounds as though in this play, though, you mentioned collaboration. There are just four roles
mm-hmm.
and the director. So mm-hmm. so how does that work? You come up with an idea and then you lay it out?
Well, I'm still ultimately the last decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
But like in most plays, and I see this with Sheila now after having worked with her, that some directors will welcome input from your actors. And it's really nice when it comes when it does come from them, it is, there's a word for it, organic. They mm-hmm. they feel mm-hmm. it a little better than you just playing chess with their bodies mm-hmm. as a director.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now tell us about this particular play, Mixed Emotions. Give us a kind of a overview of the whole thing.
Well, Sheila plays a widow of 1 year, and she has decided to leave her home in Manhattan and move in with another friend of hers in Florida.
What part of Florida? Oh, sorry. I forgot this is a play.
Beverly Siegel's house in Florida. That's part.
This is so real for me. Anyway, that's what everybody did. Go ahead.
Don Connor is playing a friend of hers. They've been friends for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Their respective mates were each other's best friends. Don is a widower of 3 years. And he doesn't want her to go.
Mm-hmm.
They're very dear friends.
Wow.
So he spends the whole time doing the fancy dance to try to get her to stay. The two other characters are the moving men, because she's moving.
Oh, my goodness.
And their dance is a reflection of the family situations that
back and forth
the woman and the man had, their relationships with their children. That's one of the things that they reflect.
Okay, so is there are there a lot of props in this play?
Oh my God,
yeah, that's what I'm hearing when you said. And I also know how Susie can be. Handbags, let me tell you. That was the last one. Wow. A lot of clutter.
Mm-hmm. Well, this particular set is unique because the set dressing is also the props, because she's moving, and so the moving men have to clear the set. Really is
wow.
interesting and challenging.
It's a big challenge for the set dresser and the set painter, because you can't hide any part of the set with a sofa.
Right.
Like you might do on another play.
Because it's going to be moving.
It's naked.
So
in
you
the
have
end.
To paint. This reminds me of when you have a rug on a floor and you paint around it, mm-hmm. and then you change the rug and it's like, oh God, why did I ever do that? So couldn't do that in this, even on stage. And it sounds as though you've enjoyed doing the play, though.
I have mm-hmm. really enjoyed working with this particular group of actors.
Wonderful.
It has just been, I feel like I was sitting in my living room just watching four people interact. It was really nice.
How about you, Sheila?
Oh, I it was a joy to work with, I've known Don and Slab for a number of years and worked with them several times before. So it was like, oh,
good,
I get to play with my friends.
So did you know the other, Sheila and Don, Slab, of course?
I knew Slab and I knew Don. But I'd been wanting to get to know Sheila forever.
Oh, nice.
I knew who she was. I'd seen, I think, just about everything she's done at the Coaster.
Yes,
but
yes.
We just never had crossed paths.
Oh, mm-hmm. how fun. So that, and then the new person, too,
mm-hmm.
who came
mm-hmm.
in. It must be a very brave young woman. Young? I said, not so young.
Man.
Oh,
man.
It's a brave mm-hmm. man who mm-hmm. didn't know anybody and walked in on the scene. Very nice. So the play opens tonight at the Coaster Theater. The time on the evening performances is 7:30, and that's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The dates are a bit eclectic, and there is a talk back Thursday on the 14th. The Sunday performance is 3, so make sure you get that in your head, 7:30 and 3, because it seems that every theater around here has a different time. Used to be everyone was 8. Now, 7:30 or 7 and 2 or 3 on Thursday. So again, on Sunday. The play is Mixed Emotions by Richard Baer, and Susie Brown directing, Sheila Schaefer, Don Osborne.
Don Connor.
Don Connor, sorry. Don Osborne's another poster guy. Don Connor, sort of Slab Slabinski, and... And
tell Cedar me, Brosh.
Cedar Brosh. Great name. It's like mm-hmm. Cedar Brush. Okay, great. Thank you so much for coming in. And Sheila, you get to break a leg tonight.
Oh, thank
Susie,
you.
No. Sorry. Just
already
congratulations. Oh, okay. Not tonight, though. Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks,
anything else
Carol.
We need to know? Is there any kind of special opening for tonight?
I believe they have some complimentary wine at the beginning. They open maybe about 15 minutes earlier than
okay.
usual for the house.
Right. And then afterwards, sometimes there's
And afterwards, there'll probably be more leftover
desserts
wine.
Desserts and wines yeah. or champagne or something. Yeah. Get in on it, folks. And don't forget, it is spring unveiling in Cannon Beach. So you can take in so much if you just go on over there and stay for the weekend. That's one alternative. Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to seeing the play.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. And I've got some music now from the Von Trapps. And if you haven't been listening to Coast Community Radio for the last month, you may not be aware the show is tonight. And yes, these are the Von Trapps, the great-grandchildren of Captain and Marie Von Trapp from the Sound of Music. It is the, I believe it's the 50th anniversary of Sound of Music, so a lot of groups are playing them, including in Klatskanai, the Oregon Symphonic Band at 3 o'clock on Sunday is playing Sound of Music. But here you get to hear the great-grandchildren doing their own thing. I've got a little music, and then I've got 4 of them coming in and hopefully play us a tune and tell us who they are.
How many times does it take to learn? The further I hold my heart out, the harder it burns. Even though I could try to protect my soul by turning my heart to stone, I'm better dead.
The good news is I've got the folks right here who made that CD, and so I'm just going to hit them up for another one that doesn't skip.
Sorry, actually, we've got one right here.
Oh, look at that. Ask and ye shall receive. Wow, what a deal. So let me go ahead and take this one out so I won't get confused. And let you know. I'm going to ask them to raise their hands so you can all tell who's who, folks. Okay, so look in your radio, and you will see Sophia.
Hello.
Okay, Melanie.
Hi.
Amanda.
Hi.
And August.
Hi.
And notice that one is a little lower pitch because August is the youngest and the only male in the family. Is that right? Did you have just the four of you? That's enough, mind you. But did you have other siblings? Or do you have other siblings?
No, just the four of us.
Just the four of you. Okay, now, right off the bat, I want to understand something. I read that you have been touring since, like, 2001. That's, like, 14 years. But you're only 20 to 26 years old. What, did somebody put you on a train and kind of send you off? How did this happen? How could this be?
Well, actually, our grandfather, who's portrayed as Kurt from The Sound of Music, he would always come to Montana where we grew up and teach us some songs and sort of inspired us to love music. And there was no pressure from the rest of the family to keep singing. I think we just enjoyed it a lot. And it was amazing. We made a little recording for him, and that turned into a CD, and we started giving shows, and we were on the road for about 9 months out of the year.
Wait a second.
Growing up. And
the truancy officer didn't come after you?
No, actually,
were you homeschooled?
Yeah, we were homeschooled. Yeah. We did school online. It's actually an amazing way to grow up, really. Educational in its own way as well.
Absolutely.
Seeing the world.
So here's the other question. Four siblings, and their ages are, they're 2 and 1 year apart, 23, 24, 26. That's very close in age. Did you really get along that well? I have two siblings. I don't think they're listening, so I'll tell you. We didn't always get along that well.
Well, we have our fights. Yeah, just like most siblings, but we also grew up as, working together. So
that's the
you just learn to make it work.
So nobody just kind of threw down the music and walked off the scene, or not too often. Anyway.
Yeah, there were moments, of course, but those didn't last very long.
Well, you look as though you're still enjoying. Are you still on the road a lot of the year?
We're still on the road quite a bit. We just, we actually moved to Oregon, to Portland, because of, about 2 years ago, because of Pink Martini. Fabulous sort of mini orchestra.
They've been here in same Liberty where you'll be playing.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
I would dance in the behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, they are quite the dance show.
Right. How did you meet them?
Well, we met them in Portland about 2 years ago and met Thomas, fell in love with Thomas.
Oh, well, he's something else.
Yeah, and he convinced us to come to Portland and record a few songs, record an album, and we only thought we'd be here 2 weeks, but it ended up being for 2 years before we finished it up.
And you're not going back to Montana at this point?
No, we've moved officially. And so we did a recording with them that came out last year called Dream a Little Dream.
Right.
It's a Pink Martini collaboration.
Yep. I played something from here on my folk show last week.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which one it was, but a lot of us have been playing tunes from
So. They're kind of, it's a collection of a lot of international pop and folk music and few originals on there, but this next one is all originals, and we're super excited.
Now, how did Dancing in Gold come about? And I noticed you have a friend on number three here. How'd that happen?
Yeah, well, we met Israel Nebaker at a friend's party, and we just really hit it off. So we thought we'd do a project together, and so it was a really fun time recording with him.
Now, this is the life of musicians, right, folks? Not always. I must say there are some musicians who, first of all, don't get along as well. And also, it probably didn't hurt to have your family history. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
would you say
course.
That,
yeah.
that
yeah.
opened a few doors for you?
Yeah, no, we're definitely... through the 14 years that we've been together, have seen the benefits of coming from such a loved family. So we're very blessed to be part of something that's very positive.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's opened a lot of doors, but it's also brought a lot of challenges of its own. So I think at the end we kind of we're pretty well-rounded on how to balance out that family history and mm-hmm. also our
and be yourselves.
To
yeah.
themselves.
Yeah, yeah, because people could have expectations that
right.
you may not want to fulfill right. every single time.
Exactly.
I think we've sung Lonely Goat Herd maybe over 200 times.
Oh, way over.
Well, I don't know whether you heard me say that because Sound of Music is the movie is 50 years old. We have this Sunday a local performance in Klatskanai, which is 36 miles away, as part of the Oregon Symphonic Band.
Oh, wow.
There won't be anybody singing. Uh-huh. Unless you happen to dance on the scene now that you're Oregon.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Now, do you all play instruments or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we play for the most part. Ukulele. August is ukulele.
Yeah.
We have also guitar and piano. And then we also have a three-piece band with us that travel with us, a piano, upright bass, and drums.
Are they going to be playing tonight?
Yep, tonight.
I didn't even know.
They're really fun.
That.
They're from Portland, and we all it just meshes. Our tours are so much fun. We'll go to, you know, hot springs or,
oh,
you know,
great.
Whatever. They're you're like our new family.
I'm thinking you discovered that Oregon's the place for you.
It is fantastic.
Pacific Northwest is where you
love it. Yes,
okay, so let's make sure folks know, tonight, see, it's another tonight, but this is right here in Astoria, and I am very pleased to say this is actually a KMUN produced show and benefit. So the family is going to be, and band, and possibly Israel even, are all going to be, that's what I hear, are going to be at the Liberty Theater, that's 12th and Commercial. The show is at 7:30. You can call right now, 503-325-5922, extension 55 is the box office. Or if you're right here in Astoria, why don't you just go over there right now? The seats are all the same price, but they are reserved seats. So if you're there, you can actually pick them out. If you get there without a ticket, you'll probably be able to get in. It's a very large theater. But then get there early. You don't want to be arriving at 7:20. And parking could be an challenge. So just keep everything in mind, because I'm one of the ushers, and I'm the one who has to say, I'm sorry, the show started. You're going to have to stand here for 10 minutes. So do come enjoy this show. It's going to be absolutely delightful. And we're really happy to have you in Oregon.
Oh,
also.
Thank you for having us.
So do you have a song for us?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We do.
Okay.
This one's special because we arranged it actually in Arch Cape with Israel.
Oh, wow.
For the first time, yeah.
What's the name of
it? It's called Next to Me. It's the second track on the Dancing in Gold EP.
Okay. This is the Von Trapps. We've got Sophia, Melanie, Amanda, and August on the ukulele.
Push and your pull, I won't feel my own. it swept along in the flow. There is one thing I know, that when you're next to me, I feel free as I'll ever be. And when you smile at me, I can hardly believe how I feel.
Take my hand and don't let go, and we'll run far from home, and we'll twine our paths, and we'll never look back. We are stronger now than all that can keep us down. With your push and your pull, I won't feel my own soul.
Wow, how lovely.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Wonderful. Now, when you do it, that in concert, Is the band playing with you on that as well?
We have our drummer playing Kashishi in the middle part. It's really fun.
Absolutely outrageous. This is the Von Trapps, the next generation. Actually, it's the next and the next and the next. Were your parents and your grandparents, were they all musicians?
Third generation. So our grandfather, he was part of they performed and sang. Yep.
Yeah.
And then it sort of skipped a generation for our father is the Von Trapp. So
Our parents can't sing.
No more music. Yeah. But apparently things are
bad. Yeah.
And then he breeds four musicians. Yeah. Wow, that's wonderful. It's wonderful. So who writes the music, the original music?
Mostly August, actually.
Okay. I just want to make sure they all agree right here on the air. How lovely. And you're also the youngest of the group.
Yep, that's right.
You have three big sisters. How's that? You know, it's okay.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah.
It's a good thing you grew up in America where it's egalitarian. Otherwise, they would have all been fussing over you and taking care of you. That would have been terrible.
Oh, yes. That would have been just terrible. Right.
Who brought you to Montana? Was that your parents or your grandparents?
Our parents. Our dad moved there. To Montana from Vermont, because the Von Trapp settled in Vermont. But he wanted bigger mountains. So.
Oh, well, interesting. Coming from Austria, I would think that. So, although I happen to love Vermont, and here you are in the Pacific Northwest. Okay, folks, tonight 7:30 at the Liberty Theater on 12th and Commercial. It's if you haven't been there, that's an experience in itself. The number again is 503-325-5922, extension 55, and you can just show up at the door. But if you do, make sure you get there plenty of time. Have somebody else go park the car and you get there and get the tickets. And what else do I need to tell them? It's Sophia, Melanie, Amanda, and August Von Trapp, the great-grandchildren of Captain and Maria Von Trapp. It's really, it's surreal, right? Do people tell you that? It's like, really?
Yeah,
you look like
such
regular people.
We are.
You are, except you're good musicians, too, which is not quite so regular. Thank you so much for coming. And this is our way of celebrating the 50th anniversary of Sound of Music, and also our way of celebrating standing up for what's right. And in these days, that's a very important thing to do. So I appreciate your carrying on that.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to sing something traditional as well tonight.
Probably.
Yeah. I figured you probably would. Okay. Thanks. And I'm so glad you're in, Esther, in Portland.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be a really fun show.
Have you back again. Okay. Yeah. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
See you later. Folks, remember, this is a KMUN benefit. And thank you, Roger. And thank you, Israel. And thanks to Tom and Pink Martini for getting him here. And you call the theater, get your tickets or show up at the door, support live and your community radio station, live music and radio station. Okay. I've got some more music here for you right now. Nancy King, as a matter of fact. Nancy King and Steve Christofferson are going to be here in the, also at the Liberty, but they're going to be upstairs in the McTavish Room, which is a much smaller venue, very intimate, very beautiful. Nancy King is one of the best-known jazz singers, certainly in the Northwest and probably beyond that. Our own Ben Hunt is producing a number of jazz concerts. He's one of our jazz programmers, and this one's happening on Sunday at 2 p.m. So when you go over to the theater to pick up your Von Trapp tickets, you can get tickets for this as well. Here you go.
Take care that you've got some time to spare. You should know before you start, you're about to lose your heart on the golden sands of Zanzibar. You better beware, mad romance is in the air, and you're about to feel the urge when the breakers crash and surge on the golden sands of Zanzibar. And when you see the moon reflected on a clear black sea, you may forget about what used to be. The moon may carry you away. You may decide you want to stay. And if mad romance is your concern, you may never return from the golden sands of Zanzibar.
Return from Zanzibar, but you will have an opportunity to go to a place that is, you know, I don't know my geography well enough, so maybe Richard Roland and let's see if I get it right, Mickey. Mikiala?
Yep, yep.
Sousa are here to tell us about. And this one I'm for sure going to let you pronounce, Richard. It's the Maori cultural exchange that is coming up next week. It starts on Thursday evening, so you needed to hear about it from these folks tonight. And next week you'll hear from some of the Maori artists themselves. Welcome, Mickey and Richard.
Thanks, Carol.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, please pronounce for me that Uku...
Uku Aotearoa.
Aotearoa.
Yes.
And that means?
New Zealand. That's the Aboriginal name for New Zealand.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay. Okay. Well, I have been looking at the poster, and now I have my own copy right in front of me. And was it 2 or 3 years ago that we had the Pacific Rim show? Do you remember when Colleen and...
Yeah, they were here 3 years ago in 2012.
2012. Okay. So this is The Spirit of Materials. I'm going to leave the, even though I really enjoy saying words, I haven't practiced, so I'm going to leave the Maori pronunciations to you. This is very exciting. You have 6 artists coming, is that right? Okay, why don't you tell us? It's a 10-day happening, is the way I understand it, with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so it's a 10-day long string of events. Most of them are open to the public, and we're doing some things that are just for high school students, and some that are for everyone. Starting tomorrow, we actually pick them up at the airport, and we bring them back, and they're out in the community meeting people and going to events starting Sunday. But Thursday is...
Okay. Is that the first public event, though, on Thursday? Or
No, it would be Sunday. They're having a parade in with the Chinook Nation over in Long Beach.
Oh, my.
And that...
I did not know that.
Yeah. And... the time of the parade is 1 p.m.
Okay. So that's 1 p.m. this Sunday in Long Beach.
Correct.
That would be your first opportunity to meet the artists. All of them are going to be here?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, okay. And this time they're all coming from New Zealand.
Yes.
Okay, because last time we had New Zealand, Hawaii, I think there was an artist named Souza.
Yes, there was.
Yes.
A very special one.
A very special, that would be Mickey's father. And then 3 of our own Northwest indigenous artists. But this time it's all. Now, how did this happen? Richard.
That's Richard.
Oh, no, actually.
What's your connection?
Mickey and I went to New Zealand, Aotearoa, to do an indigenous conference.
You both went?
Yeah, in 2014.
Okay.
Yeah, a little over a year ago.
Yeah, a little over a year ago. And the name of the conference was Kokiri Putuhi. Putahi.
Putahi, yeah.
Yeah. And in that conference, we were working with other indigenous peoples, maybe 150, 100, 120 to 150 indigenous peoples.
From all over the world?
From all over the world. And one of the responsibilities that we came away with is to continue the relationship and continue to advocate for the arts. We're kind of like, I think we both, well, I can't talk for Mickey, but I think we're both cultural advocates for indigenous peoples.
Yes. I'm nodding. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I'm nodding too.
And, what did you think, Mickey?
Yeah. No, I agree. And
did when you say that though, did you? Is your understanding just for the indigenous people of New Zealand? I'm trying to come out with the name, but it's not working for me yet. Mm-hmm. Or some of the other indigenous people that you met there? Did you make any connections with people from other parts of the world?
Absolutely. I mean, there are artists from Australia, from England.
From England.
From the Americas.
The Americas.
Yeah, so all over Hawaii. A lot of artists from Hawaii were there.
Wow.
Samoa. Nice.
Was everybody speaking in English? Was that the lingua franca, or were there people who didn't speak English?
Well, the really amazing thing about the Maori is their language is really strong. They have a really strong connection to their language. It's really used a lot. So I would think that, say, English yeah. and Maori were the two that were used nice. The most. And, you know, there were events every night that were just in Maori.
Oh, wow.
So there would be speakers that would get up and they would speak, you know, that language. And we would kind of...
figure it out.
Have to figure it out well, and ask.
You know, they're considered Eastern Polynesian peoples, and a lot of their language is a lot like the Hawaiian language.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could pick up a few, at least I could pick up mm-hmm. a few words mm-hmm. during the process mm-hmm. of their oratory on the genealogy of their people. And so maybe we were there every other day for like 4 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
listening in Maori language to their genealogy, and it was quite amazing.
It really. Must be very powerful. Yeah, yeah.
I
remember 3 years ago
when
we had the circle on the beach.
Yes. Yeah,
and some of the blessings were given in Maori and also in one of our local languages, and it was just. It is poetry, music. It is understandable to the heart, even if not to the brain, somehow. So,
yeah.
This is all working in clay this time?
Correct.
Okay.
Kind of thinking about the strong clay program that they've developed over the last 20 years. Some of the early, or some, two of the folks coming, are founding members of the Uku organizations, or clay mm-hmm. organizations,
mm-hmm.
And they'll be here. But we didn't really have enough funding mm-hmm. to bring 145 artists here.
Not yet.
Yeah.
We're going to bring them over in small groups. So.
Hey, that sounds wonderful to me. We only have about a minute left for you. I just wanted folks to get a flavor of what's coming up this week and next. So tell us anything crucial that folks need to know. Where can they find out, for example, what's available to the public?
Yeah, correct. They can go on the college website and find all this information. And basically every public event is free.
Cool.
And so mm-hmm. I'm really happy about that. And we just want people to come and feel comfortable coming. And everyone is welcome to come.
Mm-hmm. And I, without being part of this, one of the artists who is a returning artist, and she was fabulous mm-hmm. last time. So I would agree that very accessible.
Yeah.
And this is an incredible opportunity, folks, for even if you're not interested in art, believe it or not, I don't know how that could be, but you should come, because these are the native people from this part of the world, and you ain't going to meet them anywhere else except there or right here in Astoria in the next week. So do join us. I'm going to be there. That's why I say us.
Good.
And this is... the Uku Clay Workshop, for example, is Friday the 8th and Saturday the 9th from 10 to 3. Find out all about it. There's things going on at the Performing Arts Center, up at the college, at the art gallery. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mickey Alasouza and Richard Rowland, who is the clay instructor and deity from Clatsop College. And as a matter of fact, someone was just asking to be on the show for the Soup Project in a few weeks. So, you know, it goes on. The legacy of giving to the community goes on and on. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
In. Okay.
Bye.
I have one more artist coming in, a musician. I'm going to put his music on and let you have a listen, and then welcome Paul Hoskin. Yeah. You'll be hearing some experimental music. You've heard Paul Hoskin before. This time he has two other folks coming with him. I just want to give you a rundown of what else is happening and also tell you folks that tomorrow in Long Beach there is a roadie tour, and I've got tickets to give away. If you give me a call right now, 503. Oh, this is fantastic. It's like a baby crying. We're going to ask Paul how he makes, or somebody makes, these wonderful sounds. Tonight again is the Von Trapps, the Coaster opening with Mixed Emotions, Columbia River Maritime Museum with Movie Bingo, Spring Unveiling in Cannon Beach starts tonight, Peninsula Players, Loyalty Days, Follies, Nacelle High School Drama, Murder by Indecision, Cannon Beach Chorus with Coral Gems tonight at Cannon Beach Community Church. Tomorrow is a NCRD. It is a benefit at 7. Concert of All Sorts is tonight. It's free Baroque instrumental and vocal at 7 o'clock at Grace Episcopal, 1545 Franklin, and it benefits the Warming Center and the Food Bank. And the Voodoo has Jenny Don't and the Spurs, who are going to be at the Drift on Saturday. And Voodoo will have Hey Lover. Cardam! Did you hear that? Cardam Recycling starts tonight. This music goes right along with that, folks, and it's in my ears. I am loving it. Tonight is ticketed from 5 to 8 at NCRD. Tomorrow, 10 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 1. Just go over there and see the fabulous trash art. Buy something. Support Cardam. Saturday is Gearheart Art Walk, Seaside Art Walk, Independent Bookstore Day. Check out Beach Books. Cannon Beach Gallery is featuring Shirley Gittleson, who turns 90 this year. Garibaldi Museum has a reception for a quilter and a woodworker. Sunday Afternoon Live has Pearl Django at the Raymond Theater. And Cinco de Mayo at Astoria Event Center, 3 to 8. We're going to do a Cinco de Mayo show on Tuesday. That'll be Cinco de Mayo. I've invited Margarita Cullimore to join me. Hoffman, Embossed, Textured, and 3D Card Making. Redmond Hall, Skamakaway, 1 to 3 reception for Carol Peacock. Partners for the Pack. This is a big one. On Saturday, again, this supports one of our beloved buildings, Stabat Mater. With the two sopranos and the accompanist are going to be at 3 p.m., but they won't be at the Pack. Listen up, they'll be at Peace Lutheran, which is 12th and Exchange. Isn't it wonderful how we all work together to support the arts? Airport Gallery opening at Port of El Waco. Daylight's Dance Explosion, that would be Marco, 9:30 at the AAMC. Seaside Lab. Seaside Library, Lloyd Jones, Sand Dune, Amanita Gallery. If you want any of these, call me afterwards. And Sunday, the Oregon Symphonic Band and the Fort George and Jazz at 2 p.m. with Nancy King. That's it. Paul Hoskin is here. He doesn't know that we've been listening to his music all this time. Paul, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes,
exactly. I'm in heaven when I return.
I'm very glad. Are you still sort of living in Seattle? Is that
yes, I'm living in Seattle taking care of my mother.
Right. Okay, well, you're doing your merit. You're doing a good thing. And this is also a good thing when you come back to visit us. I better pull the music down a little bit so people can hear us chatting. But what instruments are we hearing in this?
Contrabass clarinet.
That's you?
By me.
Okay.
And Angelina Baldos is playing trumpet.
Okay. Is it the two of you who are going to be here tonight? Tomorrow. This is Sunday.
Saturday at Blue Scorcher, 8 o'clock.
Okay, let me read my notes instead of trying to make it up. Saturday, the 2nd of, that would be tomorrow, folks, about 8 o'clock at the Blue Scorcher, which is on 15th and Duane in Astoria. So you're on contra, say it again, it's contra.
Contrabass clarinet, and I'll also be playing baritone saxophone.
Contrabass clarinet and saxophone. Now, when it says contrabass, what does that mean?
It means that it's double bass, basically.
So it's even lower?
Yeah, it's an octave underneath the bass clarinet.
Okay.
It's the largest clarinet in the world.
Really?
Basically. Yeah.
How long would it be, ish?
Six plus feet.
How tall are you, Paul?
Six. So it goes up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got the mouthpiece and then it flips up. So when you play like this with Angelina or any of the many people you've played with, you used to bring us music all the time here in Astoria. It was quite wonderful with different combinations. It really opened my ears and eyes and heart to this music. Is it all improv, or is it, do you have some kind of an idea where you're going?
Well, what we're listening to right now was recorded in 1999, and it was music for a dance piece. So it was, it's one of the reasons they're brief. Uh-huh. And
right, we're on number and six.
Angelina and I came up with a note with notions about, like, we're going to do this kind of thing for 70 seconds.
Okay.
And so
Did the dancers listen to your music and dance to your music, or did you play for the dancer? How did that work?
They asked us to do music for a section of their piece, because it's only 9.5 minutes. I mean, it was what they would do is they would take the minutes and figure out where to put them in their dance piece. So they wanted us to do 9 brief pieces. And that's what this is.
And so did they actually go 1 to 9, or did they skip around when they did their...
I believe they used them 1 to 9, but I think there are other elements in the piece.
God, this is so evocative. I mean, again, you don't have earphones on, so you...
I haven't memorized
you
that.
You do, I'm sure. We're at number 7, so right. We just started number 7. Where is Angelina? Is she up in Seattle area?
Yes.
Too? Okay.
I met Angelina in 1990, the summer of 1996, and she and I have been working off and on since then. And the third person that's playing with us is Mark Ostrowski, who is a drummer who is here the last time I was here.
Right.
And Mark and Angelina and I
play together along.
No, I'm the conduit.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's sweet. So Mark is not on this piece,
right,
that we're listening to, but he's going to be here tomorrow night. Right. Okay, so this is H-O-B, as in Hoskin, Ostrowski, Baldos. And they are, in case you've seen the posters and wondered, because it was a little confusing to me too, they are going to be at the Scorcher tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock and-ish. And you'll play as long as it seems, about an hour?
There are two other ensembles. There are The Existence Habit, which is our Astoria musicians.
Oh, okay.
And Alto, an ensemble from Portland. So there will be three ensembles playing.
Okay. So you get triple your money's worth. Check it out tomorrow evening at 8-ish. And call me here at the station, 503-325-0010. If A, you would like tickets for tomorrow's roadie tour. B, you would like a couple of tickets for the show tonight. Give your name and phone number for the Von Trapps, and see if you want more information about anything we talked about. Thanks so much for being here, folks. Paul, thanks for coming in, and thanks for bringing your music.
And thank you for having me.
You bet.